I bought these shoes because I'm an idiot. Okay, I saw an Instagram ad that said that you won't have to see them. Nothing great. No, but I bought these because there's an Instagram ad that said that these shoes are made out of 100% recycled plastic bottles. So I thought if I buy these shoes and I stand like this, I am on the moral high ground. Figured it out. Problem is the amount of plastic packaging that it came with. Completely defeated the purpose, right? This is why I'm scared of branding and marketing, guys. It's too powerful. Do you guys know that smokers have brand loyalty? It's like the brand conscious for that cancer, like,
Hey everybody, what's up?
Hello, hello, hello. Hi.
Yeah.
Hello. Hi. What's up?
What's up? The hungovers. What's up? Welcome to the Hangover Comedy Podcast. That's our new fan base name, man. We gotta get used to saying it. It's the hungover.
Yeah, hungover. Yeah, that's a fan base name. Yes, that's a fan base name. You should hashtag hungover to say that.
Hashtag hungover.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what you need to do.
It will get included. Like, our faces will get included with all the other drunk idiots that are on that.
Fun fact about drunk idiots, you don't need color or religion. You have them everywhere.
Literally everywhere. Yeah. I'm sure even like aliens get drunk too, though. Like, there's like
True.
I'm sure.
I like to see a drunk alien like getting drunk and ranting about things it doesn't like. You know,
just and it's like spitting out like sludge and shit, right?
So
like,
I don't know,
whatever they have in their body,
move them the nose and be like this.
yeah, totally. Anyway, but that's not the topic we're talking about. Okay,
No. We're gonna talk about a very interesting thing which I stumbled upon, and Kevin also stumbled upon that. You want to say it?
Yeah. So like recently on Jimmy Fallon, it's a show here in America, the Tonight Show. Kenan and Kel announced that they're gonna have a new Good Burger. Good Burger 2.
Good Burger 2 is coming out, man. Jesus.
Good
Burger 2 is coming out. Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody listening to this right now, if you don't know what Kenan and Kel is, number one, kill yourself. Don't do that. Number two, don't kill yourself. And number two, if you watch Good Burger, you need to understand it's been 25 years that this movie has come out. You have Kenan Thompson and Kel Mitchell, obviously Kenan being a big part of SNL. Writing sketches. He's a writer, right, Kevin?
He's a writer, actor, producer. He does it all, man. Yeah.
Jesus. Yo,
He
was Fat Albert too, man.
He was.
And it was, I thought for a second they were joking. And when Kel just came in like, welcome to Good Burger, Herman the Good Burger, I was like, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I don't know why didn't they profit off of it? Why didn't they open an actual Good Burger location? I feel like that would get a lot of like.
I'm guessing they didn't expect the blow up because the people of the Good Burger are the cast of All That, which was actually a great thing over the 90s, which worries me, Kevin, because right now. All the cast members of the old Good Burgers, right?
Yeah,
grown up, and the main guy, the owner of in the original Good Burger, he just passed away. He's a great actor. He just passed away. So I don't know what we are expecting at this point in the movie.
I feel like it's just gonna be Kenan and Kel and a bunch of new characters. There's not gonna be any of the old characters. I feel like it's just gonna be Kenan and Kel and new characters. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, don't get Amanda Bynes.
Why not? Listen, Amanda needs a comeback. No, Amanda Bynes is awesome. She needs a comeback. Is so good, dude.
Oh, she got drugs and shit, dude.
But she can make a comeback.
Inspired by Miley Cyrus.
She needs a comeback, man. Amanda Bynes is awesome. She needs a comeback. Right.
So I'm very excited for Good Burger. I'm very excited, dude. Fuck, I love that show.
But I don't know why they didn't open like Nickelodeon. They have like the Good Burger. They can open like Krabby Patties, right? From SpongeBob. They can like, open up
SpongeBob.
All these restaurants though. Like
Krabby Patties, SpongeBob. Come on, SpongeBob.
Yeah, man, it makes so much money off of these brands.
Are you saying that Nickelodeon had to have actual outlets of the famous shows they have on.
Are you telling me that those restaurants want to get a ton of people just like lined up though to get the Krabby Patty or to get the good burger?
I'm gonna be the first customer. Do you think I'm gonna be home? I'm gonna be glued to the door. I'm gonna be glued to the door.
Well, it's good burger be here in America. You gotta get here in America first. That's the first thing you do here in America. Like, I gotta get a good burger though. First thing.
But yeah, I'm very excited, yo. That's it. And did you watch the Chris Rock outrage? The one that
I did watch it. I watched it. Yeah. So I actually saw him live. So I mean, a lot of jokes I knew were coming because I saw him.
Stop bragging. I don't want to know about it. Stop bragging. All right.
Okay. Well, I saw him live though. It was
great.
We
can't afford this. You're okay. Fine. You're on the USA. Big deal. Stop bragging. Okay. Fine. You watched him live. Then what?
Yeah. It was just interesting to see like a lot of the same premises he had. He had during the summer as well, but like some of the punchlines kind of got tighter for the special as he started performing more, obviously, probably. But yeah, I thought it was a great special. I thought it was great. What did you think of it?
It was a brilliant thing. Like, I mean, the opening was good. The setup was good. I mean, every comedian has seen it. Every living comedian has seen the Chris Rock special. But one thing I want to address, which is still actually in the internet right now, is how strong he went after the incident of the Oscars, because this guy held himself in and did not even file a lawsuit against Will Smith when the incident happened. So for him to come out this strong and say shit about his wife and his family, right, was pretty strong. I would say a huge respect. It was needed. It was really needed. A lot of hate is going on the internet. A lot of people are shitting on the fact that this guy is, Will is mad, Jada is mad, everybody's mad. But I want to say that if you are holding down to a someone slapping you and not reacting to it and still doing shows after that, right, with that reputation, you are entitled to say whatever you want to say in your special. That's what I want to say.
He saved all his thoughts for his stand-up special. Like, no one heard anything from him until his stand-up special. Yeah. Some people think like, oh, he shouldn't have went after the wife. The wife was definitely a part of it because she was part of the joke. And if it wasn't for her reaction, Will Smith, who was laughing at the very beginning, wouldn't have went up and slapped him. So, you know, there you go.
The reason? Do you know why he got up and slapped him? Do you know why that happened?
Why did it happen?
If you watch the Oscars again, you will see a fraction of a second Jada rolling her eyes.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
And Will actually noticed that after laughing. Can you believe that? That's fucked up. How do you laugh at a joke and then look at your wife and be like, oh, okay, she didn't like it. Now I'm going to go punch him. You know, like that. So,
and I think that to me, like all the Red Table Talk stuff, like they put it out in the public. Like that's not private stuff. They put it out in the public. So the whole, entanglement thing.
The whole fact of I can I repeat what happened? Is it okay? Can I say it? Because I know everybody.
Go ahead. I mean, it's
all right. So what really happened is the Red Table Talk with what Chris really addressed, and I don't know why people are getting mad at this, that Jada was having a good time with her son's friend, and this is something which she told Will on her show. Facing each other. And that's exactly what Chris has said. How do you tell the person you fucked, you cheated on, to the person you hurt? How do you do that? And you put it on television. So this is exactly what he said. And I think that's really fucked up, not for the person doing it. So I don't think nobody should get mad on what Chris repeated, what she said. He repeated. He didn't say it. He repeated it. So,
but my point is, like, wait, which people are mad though? I don't know anyone who's taking Will's side right now. Everyone's taking Chris's side at this point.
I know, but Netflix is slightly taking. Netflix was trying to censor out certain punchlines and certain jokes, which a lot of media websites, social media websites, forums, and also companies associated with Will Smith's franchise, actually responded, and Will is pissed about this. So he's pissed.
You slapped him. Why are you pissed though? Like, you slapped him. Like,
you. I mean, it's like someone is telling you're a piece of shit when someone was a piece of shit to you.
But to me, it's like, okay. To me, what I have a problem with though, we can bring in our comic because he'll probably have a lot of other.
Yeah, opinions
on this,
better opinion.
He will. But what I want to say though is like, Will Smith didn't apologize during his Oscar speech.
He
never
did.
Never mentioned Chris one time during that night. The next day he has a written apology. No video, no spoken, written apology. Could have been written by his agent, could have been written by anybody else. And then four months later, he comes out with a video. So to me, like, yeah, that shows who he is. So there you go. Anyway, we cannot bring in our comics. Right. Go ahead.
We gotta talk about this. I don't want to talk about this right now. Let's do this. This is really good. We gotta bring in our guest. I'm very excited to have on the guest tonight. He is a member of Comicstan. He has been a part of Comicstan. He has been doing comedy for over, I have to say 9 years for some reason.
Ooh.
10. So I don't know. Okay, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm going to say this, that he's been doing it more than me. That's the best way to put it. Okay. So, and he's also from Bangalore. Kevin, he's another comedian from Bangalore, just like the last guy we had. Okay. Right.
Yep.
So please give it up.
But also the last guy, they were on the same show together, right? So they were.
We need to hear it from him. We need to hear it from him. You can't just say that he was here. You'd give it from him. All right, all right, ladies and gentlemen, please give it up. Please give one warm welcome to Arnav Rao.
Hello, guys. Thank you so much for having me. Let me quickly clarify. I've been like, it's almost 7 years.
Wow. Almost seven.
I was close. Just close.
Almost seven. And yes, Shanky and I were on the same season of Comicstan. The only difference is that he came last in the finale. I came last overall.
Yes. You were the first one out.
So the thing is, they didn't have eliminations. Right. It was just like a point system, and then you get it to the finale.
Okay.
So I didn't get the luxury of leaving. I had to stay there and wallow slowly being last throughout the fucking show.
Right.
A very, very different experience. I would have loved if I was like the first one out. No. They're like, you're definitely not going to make it, but stay.
Stay. That's a polite thing to
like,
do.
Like, good dog, stay.
Good dog, stay.
Good dog, just stay here. You lost. You're not going to win, but stay here. Be the
no
audience.
Acting out. No oh. acting out. No acting out. Just like, be nice. We'll edit you.
Yeah. It's like when comics go to an open mic and they're the first one, they have to stay for the rest of the other comics, though, right? Then you can't just leave. So,
yeah. No, you're still performing as well. It's like, I'm performing. It's like multiple rounds. So
yeah,
add on to the humiliation.
Yes. So before we get on with the show, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself to the people listening to the audience?
Before I can, like, I have to react to certain things that you guys said in that.
Oh yeah, please, okay.
And I'll go one at a time. First, holy shit, I did not know there's a Good Burger 2. What a way to learn that news. Okay. Oh shit, I am fucking excited. And fuck you, Narayana. I'm sorry, I can't call him NShady. Okay. It's just his real name is Narayana. Okay.
No, Narayan. It's Narayan. No, Narayan.
I'm putting an extra A. I don't give
a fuck. That got removed when I was born. You can't take
I'm adding it back, dude. It's
no. My grandfather removed it. My grandfather removed it. You can't say that.
All right. Narayan. Okay.
Narayan, yes.
It's damn hard to say NShady. Okay,
it's actually cool. It's just short. It's short.
It, no, like it feels wrong coming out.
No, it's not a racist thing to say.
No, it's not. It's not about the racism. It's just like, oh shit, he's a character. No, you're a yeah. I want to just talk to a human being.
Got it.
Okay. No. Also, fuck you, dude. Amanda Bynes. She deserves a comeback. What are you talking about?
No.
Because somebody does drugs, they're not allowed to get a comeback. Like, what are you kidding me? Have you heard of the Sheen family by any chance?
Yeah, I have.
Give them a chance.
I have. I mean, in that case, in that case, give Bill Cosby a chance if you're doing that.
Okay, there's a significantly different like crime. Holy shit, dude. I don't know how to explain that to you.
Okay.
Do you know he's doing stand-up shows? Bill Cosby?
You're doing.
I heard so much, though, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would be so scared to buy a drink at that show.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, what were you saying, Arnav? Yeah, continue what were you saying. Yes,
yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, no. The other thing about, like, you just said something which I just thought was really funny. Like, you said, like, the drunk idiots are there in, like, every community, right? It's there in every species, by the way. It's not just restricted to us. Right? I heard this story. It's like my dad's. Sorry if I take too much time.
No, please.
You have to take.
I'll do it as quickly as I can. Right?
No, it's a whole hour podcast.
We have to.
It's an hour podcast. What do you mean?
Yeah. All right. Just that. Let's
just loosen up your pants.
It's a matter of personal pride that I've never done a Zoom call wearing pants. I'm in my boxers, bro. Fuck that shit.
You're in your boxers right now.
It's 1:30 in the night.
Are you in your underwear right now?
Yeah, boxers. They have.
See,
like,
Kevin. Boxers. Fuck you. Fuck you. You're the only person.
Team pants. Hashtag team pants.
Team pants. I'm in my underwear as well.
No, it's like, dude, they have like, they're like shorts. They're like boxer shorts. They're like short.
Don't show.
I did it just in front of the mic, so it's just the mic.
This
is a story, like, my dad's college buddy, like, they're meeting after like many years, we're all sitting and drinking, and he like runs like tier states in like a different state, like in West Bengal. It's like on the eastern side, the easternmost side of India. He runs like tier states up in the mountains.
Right.
And so they have an elephant problem. Like, there are wild elephants that like rampage through the tier.
Right.
And
right.
Like, his daughter's also like, yeah, obviously it's their land. You can see on it. Like, so they built elephant corridors through the tea estate. So that way they can carry on making tea and elephants. And elephants can do their shit. Now, here's the thing that's crazy, okay? So a lot of the workers on the farm, they used to basically brew their own booze, like moonshine. Like, they're up in the mountains. They ferment something. I don't know what they ferment. But they make their own moonshine and get drunk. Right. Now, turns out elephants are hardcore alcoholics.
It's true.
Like they could smell that moonshine being fermented from miles away and would like break out of the corridor and like beeline, like straight, like just get through, like
follow the smell. Yes, follow the smell.
And just go beeline straight to that. And as soon as they drink it and get drunk, they're just stationary. Like that. They can't move. You can't make them move. They're there and they're just drunk. All right. So now what he had to end up doing was he had to go and tell his workers. He's like, dude, like, I get it. Your villagers are in the mountains. You like your moonshine. It's damn strong. But please, can I start buying you bottled beer and stop the fermenting? Because the elephants are going mental around here. Okay, we have drunk elephants.
Yeah. It's a problem. The drunk trunks.
Like, now, obviously, there is, obviously, like we said, in every community, there's that one drunk idiot. Now, from our species, there's one asshole who's like, no, fuck, bottled beer doesn't get me as high. I still want to ferment, right? So he's fermenting, elephant comes, elephant gets fucked up, okay? Like, he runs away, elephant's there, it's stationary, right? When they get drunk, they're stationary. So, and he's trying to get his booze back. So he picks up because it's fermenting, there's like, they have fire, right? So it's like he picks
up a log
that's on fire and chucks it at the elephant. Right? And like hits the elephant like near the eye, and it sort of like snaps out, goes like, what the fuck? Because it's like fire and there's booze around. It's not an ideal situation. And so the elephant like bolts. All right. Now 2 years later, they're in this village, they're all drinking their bottled beer, right? There's no more this fermenting happening.
Right.
But this elephant fucking barges into the village, picks up the guy who threw the log, kills him, and bounces.
Oh, well, elephants never forget. That makes sense.
Yeah, they got strong memories.
They never forget.
Elephants don't forget.
High-functioning alcoholics, right? Like,
Yo.
It works differently with humans. When we have alcohol, we forget.
We humans don't forget.
Not some of us. Not yeah. I was drunk when I heard this story. I was like, I ain't forgetting this story.
Okay. Okay, selective human beings. Okay.
Yeah, man. Elephants are party animals, dude. That's it, man. Yeah. They are.
I have so much respect for them now.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yes, that's why I respect my ex-girlfriend. Sorry.
Oh my god.
Also, just like in keeping with the trending topics of like elephants, like. Like, we just won an Oscar for a documentary about elephants in India. Like,
We did.
Yeah, elephants, yes. Bro. I'm telling you, man. They're like bodies. They're just alcoholic bodies.
It has got a very... They have a very mixture of personality from calmness to craziness. And sometimes you can't even predict what they are. I've been chased.
I'm not, dude, shit. Okay, I know that there's a white American here. No, we don't go to.
See me. I'm half Puerto Rican. I'm half Puerto Rican. Like, half Puerto Rican.
I'm not white. He's half Puerto Rican.
I'm so sorry that I am coming across as the bigot in this scenario. I've gotten chased by an elephant, not like when I was in school and we went like our school bus was an elephant. No, not that shit. Okay, we went to like a wildlife reserve, like in school, like as a school trip, and so we're all like in like five jeeps, and I've actually had like an elephant like this chasing our jeep. So we're like sitting in the back, and it's open.
Right. So those videos where they come behind your back like that.
Whoa, they are fast. They're fast. Like we fell, like we didn't know if we were bouncing because of the jeep or because of the elephant hitting the ground and
the car is going up.
We didn't know. It was over and it was right there. And like luckily, like
Someone film that? Because I want to see a picture of it.
So this was at a time when we didn't have I was in school, school excursion. We didn't have cell phones, let alone cell phones with cameras, let alone that those cameras can not just only take still pictures.
Those generations.
It was a while ago. This was a time when the story could only be told to somebody else. Through a landline.
The landline days.
A while ago, bro.
Yeah.
So we have to circle back to the original question. Arnav, we need to a little bit about yourself.
But very interesting about elephants, though. That makes total. Elephants are so chill. So that.
Can
that
we get to the question? You're literally circling.
I'll be honest, I'm not that famous. I'm not that famous. I don't think anybody cares who I am.
No, we all care. You're on TV.
I think elephants are better. Let's focus on the elephants. It's way better. I'm a self-deprecating comic. Let's just talk about elephants.
No, go ahead. You're on TV. Elephants. Go ahead. Talk about it.
I was an OTT platform. Wasn't exactly TV, right? And no, also, like, just as a side note, this is funny because it's true.
Yeah,
and I tweeted this recently because that's my like reality in life I was on this famous whatever show. It was really heavily marketed and I did enjoy like a little bit of my fame for a period of time. It was short-lived. But I'm at that level of fame in my career where people do recognize me in bars, like when I'm out, like I get recognized, but they think that we met at a house party. They don't think, oh, I've seen him on TV. Like, that's not possible. Like, that's...
Wow.
So that's where... hello to the viewers. That's where...
Yeah, you have that face where it's like, I know you, but I don't know where I know you from.
They come up with confidence. It's not like, oh, I'm not sure where we've met.
Yeah.
Confidence, like, dude, we met at that dude's house. For sure. And I'm like,
and you're like, yeah, what's my name?
No, they're like, I can't remember your name. They know things about me. They're like, dude, you used to be a lawyer. No. And I'm like, yeah.
He's a lawyer.
They're like, you're from, you grew up in Chennai, right? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, so we met at Raghav's house. No. And I'm like, no, we did not. I don't know any Raghav.
So, long story,
and then they'll be like, oh shit, somebody will be like, hey, that idiot was on TV and shit. Like, so it's basically the information that I gave in my stand-up sets it's going back at me like as though no, this person can't be famous. That face on TV. No, I met him. I am a special person. That guy.
So the privilege level is the other way around. Like they find, yeah.
Like, dude, I'm so cool. I know so much.
I know. Yeah, I know this. So basically, you have a face of a guy not on the television, but as a very drunk house party sitting in the corner getting.
Fair, to be very yeah, that's right. But to be fair, also to them, we're meeting at bars.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like chubby beard glasses. I look like 2/3 of the room.
Yeah.
I don't blame them also.
But you have a bar face. You have a celebrity.
No, also when I do get recognized, they're like, oh, right. You are Arnav Rao, right? I'm like, no, I just look like that guy. I'm Rao.
Question though. Has an elephant ever went up to you and said, oh, yeah, I know you though. Oh, elephant. I remember you.
I forgot her name. No, I'm just kidding. No. An elephant has fortunately not done. An elephant has caused me pain though in my life separately.
Oh,
yeah. I come from like a pretty fat family. Okay, like
oh,
like,
same here. Same
all
here.
Of us in the family are fat.
We are South Indian. This is South Indian.
And in India, the only place where you can get to see a rhino. Like the actual rhinoceros
right.
is in it's a national reserve national park called Kaziranga. It's in the northeast
yeah.
of India.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so if you want to go see, so as a kid, like as a family holiday, like all 16 fat fucks land up to see an endangered species. I'm like, dude, our family is endangered the way we eat. But okay, wow. Let's go watch another endangered species right now.
Yeah.
And the thing is, to see the rhinos, you have to like wake up at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
True. Yeah. Close okay. to 4:00. Yes,
4 o'clock in the morning. And the best way, like, so you can like see them up close is you ride on the backs of elephants.
Right.
Because then like the rhinos
you have a top angle view. You have a top.
No. Also, the rhinos won't run away because like the sound of a jeep, right? Like,
correct.
They're like we're endangered for a reason. It's now evolution. What that sound does to us. They know to run.
Yeah.
Now we're a fat family, right?
Yeah.
And now there are some of the elephants that have like a box on top of their back where you can sit like tiny
stools. True.
Now that box with the tiny stools, that's VIP. That's for the white people.
Yeah. Okay.
That. Well, brown guys, spread your legs.
Okay. Yeah. It's true.
So now we're a fat family having to sit like this on a fucking elephant. Okay. That's not. Like Van Damme can do like splits. This family, no. Okay, it's like banana splits, not like this. So it was literally like, dude, when we got off, right? When we got off, not one of us, like we, for the first time in our lives and for a long time, we actually had thigh gap because we just couldn't get our legs back together. It was just like we were stuck.
It was locked in.
And it was like like I have like my uncle saying like stupidly misogynistic things, looking at his wife, going like, "Now I know what it feels like to give labor," and all like. Elephants, man, they're mad chill, but you gotta like side or like I gotta sit.
Yeah,
wow. Man.
This That's is crazy. Yeah,
yeah I the, only, that... the only rhinos I've seen are like at zoos. I don't know if you guys have zoos in India, but
we do.
Okay. That's the only time.
It's called the parliament.
There you go.
I was kind of looking for that. I knew
it was right there, man.
same, yeah. Same here in America. So
same America. Okay, so we got the parliament, sure. Right, so we do have the zoos here. It's pretty preserved, and some of them are good, and some of them are very expensive to get in. But the thing is, the best thing about having zoos in India is it is no different than the street. It is just filthy in and out.
Okay, got it.
It is.
That This entire time, I still think he's talking about.
No, it's not.
It still applies. I still don't know whether you switched to the real or you're
referring to the actual. I was referring to the actual. So
I don't know. I don't know. Your the analogy is perfect so far.
I one time, I'll be very honest, since you spoke about sitting on elephants, I one time sat on an elephant. No, it was not my ex-girlfriend or any of the, no, it's not. It is, it's not, she sat on
you
me.
You dated an elephant, man?
Yeah, I did. Shut up. It was a lot of
expense. She never forgot anything. She's like, I remember that one fight like 6 months ago. And, like...
So, no, true story. I went with my family. I sat on an elephant because there's this guy. Here's the thing, though. A guy sits, like Arnav said, when Indians sit, they have to sit, you know, with the legs spread out.
Elephant
and the guy
gets wider.
The elephant gets wider.
Whoever
yeah.
that the back is fucked.
It's really bad. So the person who rides the elephant sits in the front and he kicks the elephant behind the ear. Like that's what he does. So that's to navigate the elephant. So when I was sitting on the top, what happened is I slipped from the top and I got right behind him, like really close. So it was very awkward position where both of us like romantically sitting and enjoying the elephant. So that happened to me.
You wanna rephrase that, buddy?
No, I'm not rephrasing. I sat.
That's exactly
romantically
how
enjoying the elephant. Yo, like
No. I was sitting on the top where the other people sit. He was sitting towards the face. You know what I'm talking about, right? I slipped and I slid down to where he was sitting. And I was, let's say he was sitting here in front of me and I'm here. I go like this. And I'm like this in front of him, right? So our skins is touching and I'm like literally next to him right now. So it is just, I couldn't go up because the elephant was walking. So I just continued the ride like that. So, but when I got down, the guy was like, dude, you are so light. Like you are not a heavy person at all. Now I don't know if he said that as an insult or sarcasm, but
I think he was sarcastic. Yeah.
At least he was like, dude. He said it in Hindi because obviously he's in Hindi. He's like, you're very light, dude. You're a very light person, lightweight person. It's very nice. Be careful next time. I was like, I took that as a compliment because this happened when I was like a teen. So I went back home and I bragged about it to my mother, but she didn't like it. She didn't believe me anyway.
She didn't believe you. Exactly. She's like, that shady stuff.
You realize that your very light is in comparison to the elephant.
Listen,
you're not winning anything by saying, oh, yeah.
This happened when I was a teen, like a prime teen. So I am just going to take what I can get at that point.
No, my point is, this is like me saying I'm the sexiest man in Gumidi Pondi. It might be true, but that's not saying much.
So yeah, Arnav, a little bit about where you're from and when did you become a lawyer and why did you give up? Or do you still do pursuing law?
Just like long intro then. So I kind of grew up all over the place. I was grew up in multiple places in India, in the South mainly. And I liked arguing. I got into debating in school. And then there was like, there's a profession that pays you for this. I was like, wow. I guess I'm doing
It's called
that.
Politics, right? It's called politics?
No. It's lawyer.
But you could also go
that's
politics.
That's actually a joke. I've written a joke on it.
I don't want to pick sides. I want to fight both sides.
It's the joy of
like,
arguing.
Like inherently a contrarian.
Okay, gotcha.
Like just deep down, like anti anything, whatever. Like,
for
the sake of it, so just like because it's fun, it's always the funny. Also, at a very young age, I was like 13 or 14 when my dad started buying me uncensored stand up DVDs. Like, he's a fan of stand up,
right?
And like, when friends and family would gather, like, my dad would do like bits, like stand up bits. Like,
oh, really? Wow, that's amazing.
He's really good at doing accents. So he would do bits and then they'd look at me like that standard thing that parents do is like, okay, your turn to show talent, kids. And like every kid has to show a talent also, like for why, we don't know, but like show a talent. And I can't sing or dance.
Right.
So I do jokes. Like I saw my dad do accents. I can do accents. I do accents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I do like bits like Russell Peters bits, like Robin Williams bits that are heavy accent based stuff. Like I could do them verbatim at one point in time.
Right.
And so they'll be like, ah, do it. And like, so no stage fright. I love stand up. Oh, so 13 onwards, I've been an audience watching the greats of stand up, like Dave Allen, George Carlin, Richard Pryor. And my dad is the one like feeding this bullshit to me.
Wow.
I want to take a moment and say
your dad is very supportive.
Oh, dude, best. Like,
very supportive. My dad is. Yeah, dude.
So, a side note, I'll come back to the story, but side note. So Kevin, in India, like majority of the money for most comedians who are struggling comes from doing like corporate shows.
True.
These are like private events for like a company's like annual gatherings or some shit like that.
Yep.
And they pay well depending on your level of fame, but they also sometimes treat you like you're the lighting guy as well. it's entertainment, so we're paying you that rate, right? Yeah. So I have a little bit of fame. So I was doing like a corporate gig for like a really big company, and a guy works at that company also knows my dad, like he's a neighbor, like he lives close by.
Oh wow.
So because he knows my dad like does bits as well, he's like, dude, we're hiring your son in any case for our event, why don't you also come and do a bit? I swear to God, I was like, yes, you're doing it.
Yeah.
Like, come please. And he's like, but how like you're the famous person, we have like half an hour spot, right? He's like, but how can like I was like, no, I know you cannot open for me. I get that. I am opening for you. You don't worry. I'll do 20 minutes and then I'll bring you up. Not worry. Okay.
Right.
So you just close. And he's like, okay, cool. And he very cutely, like he wrote down like a 10-minute set.
Wait. Your dad is closing the show?
Yeah.
Not the show. It's a 30-minute spot in a corporate event. Like, you're giving flowers. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, there are content restrictions. Like,
You're opening for him.
Look, I've been hired. I'm doing half an hour. Somebody who works there is like, who knows my dad is like, hey, you also do 10 minutes.
True. It's like, why not? Like, that situation, Kevin.
Right. But who went first? You went first.
I went first.
So you opened for him technically, though? Because, like, I mean, he should have opened for you, though.
Listen. I'll tell you the story.
As soon as we get there,
we decide to... So the event is actually... It's about 800 people of this company.
Fuck!
Okay. And the event is essentially giving awards to their employee. It's a company that basically... It's like a grocery delivery app. They're giving awards to the best delivery boys.
Right. Like
the lowest rung of the company, so to speak, of being felicitated. And this is like nationwide. So they've all been flown into the city, being given the royal treatment.
True. I can relate to this, yes.
They open the event with a cover band. Like, I hate this, but it's a professional cover band. Like, they're professionally paid to play other people's music.
Yeah.
I can't do professional comedy. I can't do cover comedy. That's not allowed.
True.
Yeah. But they open with a band, and that band, I know those artists are dying inside because they're being forced to play other people's music and not their own.
Yep.
Right? So they're just doing it like as it's a gig. And like, come on, everybody, start dancing. And this is how they start.
Right.
So I'm like, dude, this is horrible a way of bringing up comics.
True.
In an event like this, because after they do this dance fucking shenanigans with the band.
Yeah.
Then they're going to give the awards.
True.
And then the comedy is going to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, as soon as we walk into the place and the way it's set up, I look at my dad and I'm like, we're going to bomb. Straight up. And he's like, what do you mean? Like, how can you know now itself? I'm like, I know. I've experienced in this. Band goes up, people dance, then they're forced to sit back down.
Right.
The awards go. Then for whatever reason, some upper management person wants to give a speech. So we get like
you always have that guy. Always have the other guy. You're always around.
He does his speech. Right. And I'm looking at my dad. He's like, you're going after me. You're not going before me. Relax. You don't worry, okay? You're old. I don't want, like, I'm worrying about your health right now. Just don't worry about it. Like, I'm going first. I'll do 20 minutes. I'll call you and you do 10 and just walk. Don't worry. Just walk.
Just walk.
And my dad's like, are you sure we're going to bomb? I'm like, 100%. Because I know I know the timing of this event. So as soon as they call the comedian on, is when they open the back doors of this massive like banquet hall in a hotel.
Right.
And they start serving food.
Oh no.
So immediately there are people who are going to the food, and there are immediately people who just now have food in their hands. And they're eating.
They won't even give you the attention.
No, yeah.
Now I have the experience of having done enough shows at that point in time to know how to get laughs in such a situation. Right? Like, I am addressing the situation.
Yes.
You know, and like forcing, I'm like making fun of the guy who's putting a chicken tikka in his mouth. I'm like, you know, this is my career, right? Like, I'm trying to pursue my passion, right? And I'm getting laughs out of that. And there are those like standard, like what appear to be crowd work, but they're all planned stuff that, you know, like at a corporate event, like you make fun of, like you look for the upper management and you tell them like the only way anybody else is going to laugh is if they're all watching you. They're not watching me. So I'm making you laugh and I just do something. I know how to, I work the room essentially.
Right.
I do a bit, call my dad on. My dad's so cute. Like, he's reading off his phone and looking up and looking down and looking up and bombs hard. Okay? and then he comes off stage and he sits down next to me and he's like, "Damn, dude, you have a tough job." I'm like, "Yes, now you know."
Now you know. Before? Like, dude, it's so tough, man. Like, yeah.
No, he knew he was supportive, but he's never had that because, see, the thing is, whenever he's done jokes, like his stand-up bits,
oh, it's with family.
It's been with friends and family.
Yeah, that's it.
It's not.
It's an authentic audience. It's not an authentic audience. It's not.
It's a friendly audience. It's a friendly audience.
Friendly audience. Yeah, it's
expected. You can't really judge. Like, when is it strange?
And the worst, and I mean, I would say, like, I had the situation when I was performing in. I stay in Thane. Okay, nobody make fun of me. I still stay in Thane. So in Mumbai, right? So
no,
I
was Thane, not Mumbai. Thane
is in Mumbai. Shut up, Kevin.
You know the references. You know the local.
Oh no, I've been on the podcast long enough with everyone in the whole world.
Everybody's making fun of me.
I like you, half Puerto Rican. I like you.
Shut up, dude.
It's like I live in New Jersey, not New York. I can't just say I live in New York, though. Okay, just because it's more sexy, I can't say that. You know.
Shut up. Okay, so I live in Mumbai, Thane, right? I'm just going with this, and I go to this open mic cafe, and again I'm performing, and as I get on, two things happen. Before I get in, a comic has bombed the room so bad that people are getting up and leaving because he has bombarded the room with the most offensive jokes ever in the market, right?
Our market, I don't know what is offensive. Just letting you know, Kevin. It could be a joke about bikes and people get offended.
Let's say it was on the no topics, which people are very sensitive about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Bike.
Yeah, okay, fine. Bike, yeah, okay, let's call them bikes. Yeah, let's call them bikes.
The bikes.
Yeah, bikes. Let's call them bikes. Yeah, we ride them. Yeah. So, and I think that was worse for me because I had to go after them. That was one. The room was dead. Like, nobody was laughing. And number two, as I was doing my set, everybody is ordering food and the waiter comes and they just start eating in front of me. And I get so mad. I get off the stage and start. This is what I do. I get off the stage and walk up to people and do comedy. I'm walking around the dining table as people are eating. And I'm like, why don't you just put those fries on my face? It's a great thing. It's so uncomfortable. Like, I address the situation like how Arnav did. Because I feel that the worst thing you can do to a comic is eat as a comedian is performing. I think
That's separate. I'm saying this is like a private event. When you open food, people are running to the buffet.
Oh, yeah. Because they're hungry. Absolutely. They've been waiting the whole time.
They had to tolerate the musician. So, yes.
Like, dude, no, they danced. They got hungry because of the musician. I'm saying,
yes.
What you should have done is do the comedian first, then the musician. People dance. They're hungry. Food is available. The musician gets to carry on performing if you're there or not.
True.
A comedian.
Yeah, musicians don't give a fuck whether you're happy, sad, depressed, you're filing for a divorce, you're crying with your girlfriend. They don't care. They're just
not that. It's not that. It's just that they can perform in isolation.
Yeah, they can just go on.
It's not. Dude, they can practice for 18 hours in a room alone. Our practicing is having to first get an audience.
Correct.
Perform in front of an audience. So for us to get 18 hours of practice, it's very different from them to get 18 hours of practice.
Yeah. The thing is, like, for music, it can be like background music, right? So you can eat while you're listening to music, right? A comedian, you need the attention.
I need captivity. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can't. So, but Arnav, I'll say this. My dad also does stand up. So like, we both actually do stand up. And the last
his time dad he... is more funnier than him. His dad is way more
funny.
Very funny. Shout out to Eric Carrier. This is really funny, dude.
So it doesn't happen often, but I always get pissed off if he does better than me, though. I always get pissed off though. And so the last time we did like an open mic together, though, like I was like, maybe I was second to last, though, and there was like maybe 40 comics, and he was like near the beginning. He got like so many laughs, but there was like a big audience. When I went on stage, like maybe two or three audience members there at that point.
Does your dad do stand up like professionally?
No.
My dad does it. Like my dad's extremely like he's in like high finance. He's extremely successful. He's just a funny guy, and so he just does bits. Like that was his thing.
Yeah, that's what my dad does. He does like, bits.
But he does bits only for friends and family. It's not not like he'll go to an open mic and try. No. He's too successful.
Eric's
he's too
busy. Kevin's he's too busy. Dad.
Like this house that exists is because
I can see the richness. I can see the richness behind you.
No, it's just books. It's just books that I purchased. Like all my money just goes.
But the
books
are more expensive than in Shady's books. So that's
how
that's
dare it. You? These are like literally fucking little good books. How much is cards cost a lot of money?
I want you to pick out one of those books right now in Shady though, and tell me any of those books because you've never read any of them. You've never read any of those books. I guarantee.
Pick
out one of the books. Okay. What is that book?
This is Unlearn. All right. Okay. This is the greatest book I have read. It's from Humble.
Oh, you
the
read it?
Yes. What the fuck does that mean? You
I
read
didn't
it?
Know you read any of the books. That was the decoration.
I
you
read.
Make you look smart.
I read from the shelf. I take books
really?
And I read. Keep it for us backdrop.
I mean, also to be fair, the book he picked was Unlearn. So if you've actually read that book, then you shouldn't be reading anything.
All the Unlearn, you a fucking piece of.
Jeez! Oh my gosh!
No, but this shelf really strongly belongs to my dad. He's a very heavy reader. He still buys a lot of books. This is just half. If you go to my parents' house and if you look at my dad's bookshelf, it is just 100 times bigger, and every day
I have like an other bookshelf other than these two.
Same like that. Same. Exactly like that.
Yeah,
my dad,
way
yes.
more. Unfortunately, so my mom used to be a writer as well.
Oh wow.
She was a journalist.
Nice.
And, she works with like literature festivals as a curator for like musicology and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And our house got flooded like last year, but like our house, like the thing that we lost the most. We had about like my room was fine. Like so, these books survived. Like because I'm the
first. Lucky you.
No. Like we have like six bookshelves on this floor alone.
And
on our ground floor we had about 7,000 books.
Oh.
Like tall, long, and a lot of them are author signed.
Yeah.
Oh, my mom worked in Late Fest, and a lot of those authors are dead.
Oh, sorry.
And now all those books are also gone. It's literally we just and like assholes, like the first thing we're doing, like we're staying like a temporary place before we can move back in after floods. And the first thing suddenly we're realizing this temporary place is getting filled up with books because we just still buy books.
True. Same thing with my dad.
Like
yeah.
all three of us are, like my parents and myself, like we're like big, like the best buy I've ever made, like shout out to Jeff Bezos for the Kindle. thank you, Bezu.
shout out to Amazon, man.
Yeah, we're on a nickname basis.
Amazon, sponsor this video.
Sponsor the podcast, yeah.
Sponsor the podcast, yes.
Jeff Bezos, please come to the podcast.
Please come to the podcast. Yeah, I won't ask you about why my packages are delayed. Please come to the podcast. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, what
I won't ask you why your wife divorced you.
No, I'm not talking. No.
Wait, Arnav, what did you think of the Chris Rock special? Did you watch it?
I did. I don't know about the thing you mentioned about like the censorship.
Right.
I do know. Like, I watched it twice because I am a big
Chris. Do you know about the situation? What with the whole thing? The before and after? Yeah.
I'm a professional comedian for over 7 years. You know what's going on, man.
Yeah, you have to.
We're tuned in. Like, dude, we know what's happening in the American scene and in the British scene.
True.
They don't know what's happening in the Indian scene.
I have no idea. I only hear from Enshady. You don't have to tell me. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, if you're hearing from Enshady, then you don't really know about this. Come on, it was there.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Yeah.
No, so I saw it twice. I did know that like the fumble when I first saw it, they fixed that. So if you go back and watch it, he actually fucked up the joke, the emancipation concussion joke.
He did.
Go back and watch it right now. That's fixed. That fumble's not there.
Mm-hmm. It's just,
so I think that's the only change that I saw.
Yes.
For me personally, as somebody who is a huge Chris Rock fan,
right?
I don't know if for me personally this was his best special.
I think Bigger and Blacker for me was the big.
Bigger and Blacker as well as Kill the Messenger. Like, I'm Never Afraid. Those three that came, like, they came back to back.
Yeah.
And the tightness of the way his joke structure was, I felt that was lacking in this. Like, just, mm-hmm. like, I'm comparing him to him. That's basically where I did. It wasn't, like,
Are you saying it's slightly fading, like in terms of how he was and how he is?
Whoa, who the fuck am I to comment on whether that man's fading or like, dude, I'm nobody, dude.
No, but
I'm hanging out with you, bro. Who the fuck are we, bro? Think like we're nobodies. I'm just commenting saying, like, as a fan of his,
true,
I don't think it's within his body of work, it's his best.
Mm-hmm. True.
Like the Will Smith bit to close, that everybody was waiting for that.
True, of course.
Like, true. Now, true. I think that if that same bit, the same about 9 to 10 minutes that bit is.
10 minutes, yep.
It's about 10. It's the last 10, right? So if that bit, if that same thing was, like, he had dropped that like a week after the slap, the material would be like, that's perfect.
True.
You've had one year, Chris Rock honing material. This cannot be Chris Rock's honed material.
That was surprising for someone to go this.
Like, I thought, like, after 1 year, it would be way tighter, way better. Because I felt the last line in a lot of places in the special, it was like that last line was.
The last line didn't hit for me though. The last line did not hit.
That's the thing. Like the last line, and then he chucks the mic down. I'm like,
don't in front of him.
It needed two tags more. I was like, that's the setup line. Like, you just got me on a high. That's not the mic drop line. And that's just me. Who am I to tell him jokes?
Don't perform in front of people.
I'm just saying, I'm comparing you to you.
Right.
Like, right. Like, for me, I think, like, of all the comedians who, like, make movies about comedians, he has one of the best movies about a comedian's life of trying to come back after something bad, which is a movie called Top 5. I don't know if you've seen it.
I've seen it. Yes, I've seen it.
It's a good movie.
Yes, I've seen it.
It's fucking beautiful.
I've seen it.
Like, in Top 5, he understands that up-down, that failure, that comeback. And that's what we were expecting out of this special.
I think the reason why
it didn't match up to what, like, which is me. I expected, I love you so much. I thought you would blow my mind one more time.
True. This is a very genuine thing. Like, I think, I don't know about the ending because I didn't actually focus on the ending. I really didn't focus. I was focusing on the bits and most importantly the situation with the Will Smith, which was addressing. But I think what part of me really feels the reason why everybody has a different opinion in terms of like how Arnav has an opinion that it didn't land well or, you know, it didn't expect the way it is probably because when that incident happened, he continued performing multiple shows, one with Dave Chappelle, and he did touring with Kevin Hart. And I don't think at that, touring, when he did those tours with that, he still addressed it in those tours. He still addressed...
From what I heard, he was like, I'm not going to talk about it yet.
Yeah, but he did address it in a way.
Dude, Kevin Hart, that bit is viral. That's there on YouTube where Kevin Hart brought a fucking goat onto the stage.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's the goat called? And he's like, it's called Will Smith. we've all seen that clip. Like, we've seen the clips go viral. People have talked about it. Yeah. I'm saying, I'm such a fan. I've studied every special you've put out.
Right.
For a long time, I was trying to release a video that was, in a way, trying to tribute Kill the Messenger, which was recording in multiple cities.
Right.
And then putting it together, but it's the same bit essentially, but record in multiple cities.
Right.
It's like he inspired me to do something like that. It's cool. I'm a fan of his.
True.
Holding this special up against your stand-up specials.
True, true, true.
It didn't land for me as your fan. I still love you. You put out something next, I'm still going
Chris
to
Chris Rock, come to the video.
Chris Rock, please come to the podcast. Yeah.
Chris Rock, go to the podcast. Please
just subscribe to my YouTube
Everybody
channel
tag
also
Chris
while you're
Rock.
At it.
I'll say two things about it. So one, this is the first Netflix live stand-up special. A lot of all the other stand-up specials, they take they do two or three recordings and they'll take the best bits though. That's the first thing though. So even that right there, he probably was a little bit nervous though. Probably. So
with emotions, man. He was fucking dealing with emotions, and it is just really traumatizing for
him. But it was live. It was live. He doesn't get a second take though. It was just one take.
I know.
But you guys are talking as though it's live and it's new and he's going through emotions and we don't know what's happening.
It almost slaps you on the face.
But from what I know, I haven't seen it as yet, but Louis did the same thing.
Mm-hmm. True.
And he didn't have a fumble.
Yeah.
Dude, at a certain point in time, you're fucking Chris Rock, you're fucking Louis C.K. You don't have the excuse to fumble.
No.
You've hosted the Oscars twice. That's
true. Right.
You've done enough live shit.
Yeah.
The second thing I wanted to say though was I feel like, I don't know if he worries about this, but some people say that his old stand-up, he was very much like a character. He had that Chris Rock voice, and now his past couple specials, he's trying to be more normal, I guess.
He's trying to diminish the Dave Chappelle Chris Rock voice.
I mean, he has aged.
Yeah,
it would be stupid to there was a young man voice versus as you grow older,
true,
and your voice does change. Fade. Fade might be the wrong word. You're evolving, might be.
And
that applies to Dave Chappelle, dude. If you look Killing Them Softly, he's a skinny guy. He's skinny. Yeah. His voice is slightly more high pitched.
True.
And by the time you see the closer, dude, the guy's he's
buffed.
So you go through your body changes over time. Some of us just hope that we can limp past 50 years. The way we live our lifestyles, man. The way I live my lifestyle, I hope. I drink way too much and I'm very unhealthy in my life.
But my favorite bit. This is the last thing I would say about this. My favorite bit from the new Chris Rock outrage is where he spoke about his daughter and he got her kicked out. I loved it. That was so beautifully portrayed, and it was so family friendly at the same time. When he spoke about that point, I saw the old Chris Rock coming out and talking shit about his daughter and how she's grown up, and it's the badass shit he's pulled off. That was my favorite bit when he spoke about his family. That was my favorite take in that. But apart from that, everything else is, we all know how it is. So, yes. All right.
This is again me just being nitpicky. I'm sure it is significantly better than my 2 hours.
Of course. Yeah, 100%. We're not comparing you to him, though.
I just wanted to just quickly clarify that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm that great. Relax.
I was like, I could do better. Come on. I could do better. Seriously. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's wrap it up. Let's wrap up the podcast.
But I was going to great podcast. Yes.
What did we learn on the podcast? And Shane, we'll start with you.
You know, use that. I'm not
you want me to start? Use that. Okay, I'll start. I learned that elephants can get drunk. They're awesome. they are really awesome. You know, I love elephants. I feel like now the next time I go to a zoo, I'm just gonna chuck like beers at it and see what happens. I realize now that Arnav, his dad also is like a funny guy who does bits the same way my dad is, so he probably is sometimes it's fun and sometimes it's probably really fucking annoying, just like mine.
More funny.
Because he does like a lot of dad jokes, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
No, he's filthy.
Oh, he's filthy. Okay. He's more filthy than you.
No.
Yeah, and I realize, you know, Arnav, he's gonna be doing some some specials, man. So he's killing it in the game of India. So like in the next few years, this podcast will probably be blown up because we would have a celebrity on. So that's what I said. So. And Shady, what'd you learn?
I learned that you can be famous and have a famous face, but in bars and not in TV shows, that you can get recognized in bars and not actually in TV shows. Mm-hmm. I also learned that take care of your books, because if we have a great writer, you don't want to have a flood and disappointing people, because authors come, the dead ones doesn't come back, just saying. And that's because if you have a very brilliant writer in the family, it's a blessing. And I also learned that, a supportive, I was shocked to realize that unlike authentic South Indian families I am from, there are dads who support their son and also go full on head on in comedy and who do not do dad jokes. So unlike my dad, who is only, he doesn't do joke at all. He's a very serious guy. His definition of comedy is just lecture. So, so it's great to have a supportive, enthusiastic father. That's what I learned. Yep. So yes, yeah. Arna, what did you learn?
Nothing. It's fucking like 2:30 in the morning. I've been drinking. I think I'm learning shit or what? I unlearned today. Okay.
Oh,
nice callback.
It's a great book. Fuck off.
I will never shit on a book. I'm shitting on the person who owns the book. No, but this was fun. Thank you. We're done. Like, this is thank you so much for having me, guys. Like, I just like to say that it's very nice meeting you, Kevin.
Of course. Exactly. So where can people find you?
We might have to wrap it up. I think I lost connection, internet connection. So we gotta wrap it up.
You're good.
Okay. Yeah. Just okay. Get to the ending.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So where can people find you, Arnav, on the internet?
Just type my name in Arnav Rao. On YouTube, you find my YouTube channel. My Instagram handle is at Arnav Rao, and my Twitter handle is also at Arnav Rao. it's just my name. thank you guys so much. But honestly, thank you guys so much for having me. This was genuinely a lot of fun. I hope you guys also had fun. And
cool. Yeah, man, it was great. It was awesome.
So much for being with us. Thank you so much. I really.
I don't know. Thank you for having me. Cheers.
All right. And you go to the closing. Come on.
Okay. Well, yeah. So, guys, share the podcast. Wherever. No, I'm waiting
too
for you.
Too much alcohol. You guys drunk alcohol.
Like, looking up. Like, I don't know what you're looking up at, though. You're like looking up. There's like the internet. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, isn't that I lost power and the light's flickering? You just saw the light.
Really?
Go off,
really? Because you're good. I don't see any light flickering
at all. I'm good. I'm just saying. Like, okay.
Okay. You're good. Okay. I'm just making sure. I don't know what's going on over there. I have no idea what's going on over there. Anyway. Guys, if you like the podcast, share it with a friend. Subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Yes.
Follow us on Instagram.
Yes. Follow Arnab on his Instagram, on his socials.
Also follow the Patreon. Arnab, if you can stay for like 5 more minutes, though, we're going to do a Patreon video afterwards.
We're doing a Patreon video.
Yeah. So,
when is this going out? Like, when do you think this is going
out? This will go out in April, first Friday of April, I think. Yeah.
First Friday of April. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So,
the day that it's releasing, we can do like an Instagram live with all three of us.
Sure.
Perfect. There
we go. Definitely. We can go live. We can get it promoted maybe like a couple of days earlier.
Promote the link and we'll just all share.
Absolutely. We'll make that.
That'd be great. That'd be awesome, man.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, guys. See you in the next podcast. All right.
Bye.